Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. Full EV or plug-in hybrid? Go electric with Kia. For more, log on to kia.com.
1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. Katie Hannan with you until 3 o'clock today. Gerard, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Katie. I hope yourself and the family are all well and safe.
And the same to you, Gerard. You are you teach engineering to apprentices.
Do I do engineering? Well, it's actually engineering students, and we return to locally this week on Monday.
Right.
And you know, everything has been going well.
I imagine you had to put a lot of things in place there for.
Yes, last week a meeting. Week myself and the other teachers that will be taking on other students over the next couple of weeks. We are actually the first class back,
right,
in the school that has opened there. So we've been having meetings all week on how to deal with COVID-19 and how we should deal with students if any of them should be suspected of having COVID-19 and all what's going to be happening in the school. So it's been pretty hectic, and it's kind of an ongoing thing still at the moment, because we still have to see how, as more students and more students come back to the school, how we're going to handle it. But so far, so good.
Okay, so then you needed to go out for lunch.
I go out for lunch. We break at 1 o'clock. We break at 10 in the morning for a quick lunch, and then we break at 1 o'clock for lunch. So I usually go down to the local petrol station. That has a lovely deli bar, and staff are great, and they make up lovely sandwiches. So Monday was perfect. Tuesday was perfect. Yesterday, Wednesday, I took my usual drive down in the car. Inside, I ordered my sandwich. They have all their social distancing and their covers and their Perspex sheets in front of them, so to protect the customers and everything like that. And
yes,
they follow the rules.
Yep.
They have a lovely sign outside the door that says, no mask, no entry. And it's in big and bold writing right outside the door. So that, you know, you couldn't ask for anything better. And when you go in, you know, everyone that you see has a mask on, which is great, you know.
Okay.
So I got my mask, I got my sandwich. I went up. I paid for it. I also paid for my coffee, and then I went back into the coffee machine to get my coffee. So while I was waiting for the machine to do what it does, two gentlemen came into the shop without any face coverings. So as they passed me, they kind of stopped because there was other people at the deli bar, because it's a 2 meter. So the line in the shop kind of goes clockwise. You go in one way, but you must go all the way around the shop to come out to the register. You can't actually just mingle through the shop.
Yeah. So a lot of places have that one-way system.
Yes,
put
you know,
in
and which is the right thing to do.
Of
but
course.
Because the line comes back by the coffee machine, they were quite close to me. So I turned to one of the guys. I didn't see any of the staff saying anything or the manager who was at the back. So I said to one of the guys, look, is there any chance you could put on a mask? I said, I'm a teacher. Now, I had a full face mask, one of the plastic ones that I wear when I'm teaching inside. So I had that fully on. So it's either you can either wear a full clear face mask or a covering mask. Some people find that the covering masks are, they don't find them great, but you can wear a full face mask as well. So that was fine.
So you asked them, would they mind putting on a mask?
Put on a mask, okay. So one of them had walked ahead, but the other guy had said that. And he said to me, he said, fuck you. I said, I don't. But he told me to, then he told me to F off. It was none of my business.
What kind of age profile are we looking at here?
You're talking about guys in their 40s. They look like they were builders from a local business.
Right.
You know?
Okay. So
they were dressed in their
old enough that they had
PPE gear on, like safety shoes and the heavy pants that the builders wear. You know.
Okay.
So they were wearing that type of PPE. if you know what I mean.
Indeed. Yeah. But so you as you say, your polite request was met with the F word.
So, you know, I said, I mean, that's ridiculous. And I said, I went up and I said, that's an awful thing to say. I said, I told them who I was. I was a teacher. I have students back, and I'm trying to protect them and protect them. I said, look, I said, if you're going to have that attitude, I said, you're the type of people who are going to spread the virus. So with that, he says, I hope you get the virus. It was his words. There were his words.
I hope you get the virus.
You know, and at this,
right.
At this time, you know, so. I said, look, I this ended. I went looking for the manager, and I couldn't find the managers. I went back to pouring my coffee. So the guys had finished getting their sandwich. They kept around. They followed the ring road around inside in the shop.
Mm-hmm.
They started mounting at me again. So I went. I converted them again a little bit harsher this time. I told them what I thought of them. And I said,
were you now at this point engaged in what we might call a heated debate?
A heated debate about it, you know. And, I was kind of threatened by one of them, you know, a kind of a smack in the jaw type of a situation he was kind of threatening with. But with that, another girl who I hadn't noticed coming to the shop was standing at the last till, because there's two tills.
Uh-huh.
And she turned around. She was in a kind of a tracksuit. She was an off-duty vanguard. And she told me that I was to be quiet or else I was to leave the shop. So I asked her, I said, if you're a vanguard, I said, why haven't you identified yourself? To these two guys, they're not wearing any face masks. And she was facing me at this time, about 2 meters away from me. And the guys behind her were laughing and giving me the finger. So so because she identified herself as an off-duty garda, I asked her for identification, which I found out just yesterday that they have to do that. Once they identify themselves as a garda, whether they're on duty or off-duty, they must show ID. So she wouldn't show me her ID. And what she said was that I'm wearing a tracksuit, just come from the gym, I don't have it, it's in the car. So I said, well, can you go to the car and show me your ID? Because I don't know who you are, you know? And then again, she said, you're going to have to calm down. You're going to have to leave the shop. I said, why aren't you doing your job? These guys are wearing no masks. I sign outside the door that says no masks, no entry. I said, the girls behind the counter are probably afraid to ask them because they're probably getting abuse as well. You know,
mm-hmm.
So I know for a fact. I said my own local shop where I am. I said the girls inside the shop won't engage at all with customers who don't wear masks because they've got so much abuse. And I read on RT and the papers yesterday that a lot of managers in shops are not taking steps that they won't use the law against people because they're afraid of getting abuse or getting hit.
And you know? I'm just interested, is there any particular reason why this off-duty guard that she identified herself to you focused on you and not on the two gentlemen that you were...
I suppose it was because the guys had made gestures and I spoke and I was speaking up at the guys probably in a voice slightly lower than a normal voice, you know, that it was ridiculous and how dare you say that to me. And you should be absolutely ashamed of yourself for what you're
right,
doing.
Right, so
you know?
She just came upon you at the moment when you were responding
So this debate went back and forth between myself and herself. I've asked her for identification. I told her that if she didn't identify herself to me, then I said that she was impersonating a police officer. And I said, that's another, a breach of the law. And she said, you don't know anything about the law. I said, probably at this stage, I probably do a little more about the law than you do. I said, because it is the law for you to show me identification if you identify yourself as a police officer. So then she said, it finished like that. The guys had paid for their sandwich. They had left. So she decided to leave. But as she passed me on the way out, she said to me, she said, if you're a teacher, I God help the kids that you're teaching. And then I said to her, I said, if you're a Garda, I says, I can see why people dislike the Gardaí very much. You know,
Okay.
And I followed her over to the car. I asked her again for identification. She refused to give me identification. So I took a picture of her in the car. I came back in and looked for the manager. And he only could talk for a minute. And I only could talk for a minute because I had to head back after this because I only have half an hour for lunch. And then one or two of the girls had said to me that, look, we're afraid to say it to people because we've been abused before, which I didn't know about. And then another man who was at the ATM who had come up to me and said, look, he says, that girl is a vanguarda. He said he's seen her before in uniform. And
yeah.
So it was there then. I said, thank you very much. And
okay,
then I left.
But Jared, can I just say, you said then that you said to the guard, and I know it was, you know, things had got heated and you say things that maybe you might mean to say, but I mean, to say
absolutely,
that, no wonder people don't like the guards. I mean, a lot of people do like the guards and admire the guards and think they've done a great job during this time.
They have done an absolutely brilliant job, and I've met them on the road during the bad times when they stopped, and they're absolutely gentlemen and gentlewomen.
Yeah.
And I've gone out of my way in another shop to buy. I met the two guards inside who were coming in for a break, and I've gone out of my way to ask them could I pay for their lunch, because they've done such a great job, and of course they refused, which is you know, I think they do have to do that. But listen, I thank them, and I've met them inside.
Yeah, that's not your issue, Gerard. Your issue really is going right back to the start of this, is those two men who walked in without the mask were not prepared to contemplate or engage whatsoever.
Even when I told them I was a teacher and I had to go back to students, were not interested, and told me to my face, I hope you get COVID-19 on two occasions.
Yeah, I suppose there's no accounting for some people, Gerard. That's the only way I can say that. I mean, you're obviously quite shocked by the encounter.
Shocked, but,
had you challenged anyone ever before?
Never had challenged anyone before. That's my first time doing it.
Will you do it again?
I would think twice about doing it again because you just don't know. If you pick the wrong person, you might get a smack in the face. And from yesterday, it was the first time I've heard a few stories, but yesterday was the first time I actually understood how scared people inside in shops, managers in shops, would be in any type of a shopping situation where they would have to tell a customer to put on a mask, because you could meet one of the customers who are anti-mask or who are anti-vax or something like that, you know. People sometimes don't wear masks because they have asthma or they have an underlying condition, but they could wear a plastic mask over their face, you know. But I do understand for the first time, and I feel for people who work in shops.
Yeah, it is. It's a difficult situation to put somebody in, particularly a lot of very young people behind some of those convenience store counters, and to ask them to challenge, maybe much older and what should be wiser people in those circumstances.
Absolutely.
There's no sense that you get much protection from being behind that screen.
You know, I think what shocked me most was that I was picked out by the guard, and she said an absolute nothing to the two other guys, you know. And she must have heard them. She must have heard them cursing and swearing at me. She must have heard them, you know.
Yeah.
It's just an unfortunate thing.
It's an unfortunate thing you got on the wrong end of that one, for sure.
I got on the wrong end.
You were on the side of the angels, in fairness.
Unfortunately, I'll think twice, you know, before doing it again. And more than likely, because I'm the one who's going to have to leave the shop, you know?
Yeah.
That's not right either. We'll all get through this, you know? And, you know, I think I've been very, very proud of the way the country has acted over the last couple of months, you know, the way everyone has agreed. You'll get the odd one or two, but everyone has done such a great job in keeping the country, unfortunately, we have 1,700 deaths, and we all feel for that. And hopefully after we come out of this, that the country will take a few days to remember the people, not only who have died, but the people who have helped us in the hospitals, in the, you know, the HSE, all the other people who have gone out of the way, the police, the fire officers, the ambulance drivers, all the people who are out on the streets, the postmen,
absolutely,
you know,
Gerard. We'll take time to
remember those over a number of days in this country, and hopefully there will be awards for these people, from the president of the country or some type of a program RT could host or something like that.
Absolutely.
And then we remember all these people that have gone out of the way, that have put their lives on the line for us.
Okay.
So that's my story. And as I said, look, anyone who's listening on the radio, just listen, think twice. I know it's the right thing to do, but think twice. You just don't know. People are coming out of this pandemic, and people, you know, are going back to work, and they're uptight sometimes, and some people are stressed out. That guy may have been stressed out that day. She may have had coming off a shift and had a bad day. Or a long week, because they are under stress. They're doing a lot more than they have to do, either.
Okay, Joe, would you stay there one second? I've got John, who I think wants to talk to you. John, good afternoon to you.
Hello, Katie.
Yeah, you were listening to Gerard there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's a teacher, and you know, he's not the police, he's not the law, and he had no business going and taking on people, you know, who weren't wearing masks, you know. So
really, you don't think that, that anybody should challenge somebody? If somebody is in your space, right beside you, not wearing a mask, in a place where it clearly states you should be wearing a mask, you don't think you're entitled to point that out?
No, no. I think it's too dangerous in the current climate, you know. Because you don't know who you're, it's a complete stranger. You don't know who they are. You don't know what may happen. And as it happened in this case, the man came off the worst, you know, because he lost his cool. And then he started onto the guards, you know, which was, you know, just totally wrong as well, you know.
You don't have any sympathy for Jared?
I mean, you have to see, I mean, that we're living in a time where people are totally stressed, you know, and with the suicide rate being huge, and people are under tremendous pressure. And, I mean, you don't know. I mean, there are a lot of people carrying knives, carrying weapons, and you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what's going to happen if you confront somebody, you know, and it takes very little for something very serious to happen. And if somebody isn't wearing a mask, you can complain, you can ring the guards, and they're the law, they're the police. It's not the teacher or, you know, leave it, you know, just leave it, you just walk away.
But surely to God, at lunchtime in your local convenience store, the likelihood of somebody pulling a knife on you for suggesting they wear a mask must be pretty low.
Well, you might get a single shot to the head and you fall down, hit your head, and you get a brain damage, you know, quite easily. Especially from those guys, they're builders. Don't take too much cheek from people, you know.
Oh yeah, well, okay. Better be careful. I want to mind builders' reputations as well.
They're some of the loveliest people we have in the country as well. Suggesting that builders carry knives and guns around with them all the time—that's desperate.
Well, you could have a screwdriver in his pocket. You wouldn't know. You could get a dock of a screwdriver off something off him, you know.
I mean, I know where you're coming from, John, but what I'm saying is to you, the guard picked on me and said nothing to them. Just to let you know, and I checked this with the Garda press office, that if a Garda identified themselves, whether they're on duty or off duty, they're supposed to show you identification if they're in civvies. She did not show me that, and that's against the law. And that's a prosecutable offence for a guard.
Your problem as a teacher is that you're a man of the law, and I'm afraid when you're a man of the law, it's a very dangerous...
Well, aren't we all people of the law? Don't we all respect the law?
We do, and we're supposed
to... You don't seem to be a man of the law.
I am. I respect the law, but I mean...
But if you respect the law, then, I mean, can you not ask someone...
I don't put it on other people.
So if I ask you to sit in my car and come with me for a drive, and I ask you to put on your safety belts, are you going to attack me? On a safety belt, because it is the law.
I know that's the law. I know. I mean, everybody.
So, with the wearing of a mask, the wearing of the mask and a face covering is the law, as perceived by the government. The guards are there to protect the law and protect the people.
Exactly.
I wasn't protected by the guards that day.
Michael, you're not the law. You're not the police. You had no business pointing it out because you are a teacher. I'm surprised, actually, as a teacher, that you wouldn't be able to handle a situation like that, you know, because I'm sure you're dealing with that all the time.
Well, I actually handled it very well at the start. I asked him very, very politely. I told him who I was. And the guy actually told me, I hope you get COVID-19. Do you think that was right, John?
Yeah.
Of course not.
But I mean...
After I left to look for the manager, because I was going to let the manager sort it out, they attacked me again.
Jared and John, just one second.
I don't know what situation those people are in. You know, they're being off work for the last...
What you're saying here is that builders carry screwdrivers and carry guns, and they could attack you at any time. I mean, that's a terrible thing.
I'm just saying, for your own safety.
You said that I have nothing to do with the law. You know you can make a citizen's arrest in this country.
No, the police carry out the law. You had no business.
I asked the guard to carry out the law. And she refused to do that.
And because, do you know why she did? Because had lost your cool, lost your temper, and like anyone, she's a human being as well. The guards are human beings too.
Jared, can I intervene there and just ask you, Jared? Jared, in retrospect, at the way things played out, do you think you might have, you know, lost your cool, overreacted? Could you have handled it a bit better once things kind of took off?
Could I have handled it a bit better? yeah, I suppose if I had met the manager, I would have let him handle it, and that would have been that. But then I suppose the second time he said, you know, I hope you get COVID-19. And then
in fairness, that was a very provocative thing. Yeah, very provocative thing to deal with. Yeah.
The other provocative was that he said that, you know, you get a box into the head. So he actually
you see,
a physical assault, you know.
Okay, I know, John, that's kind of the point you were making. Will you both stay there? Because I want to bring Anna in because she has a view on this. Anna, good afternoon.
Hi, Katie. I love your programme, Katie. You do a great job. No, I think, to be quite honest, that people are losing sight of what's right and what's wrong. First of all, I think it's up to shopkeepers to enforce that law, because it's on their premises. They are responsible for all their customers. So that man actually was quite right to say to them, could you put on a mask, which was quite polite. Okay, I know it's a danger because you don't know what you're dealing with. And as it happened, it sounded to me like he was dealing with a pair of couriers. And no matter what he said, he was going to get abuse. But there should have been somebody from the shop organising who comes in and who comes out. And if they come in with the mask, they shouldn't be served. And it shouldn't be up to customers to police that law. It's the law of the land now. And the other thing, too, is, what was the Vanguard thinking of? That she must have heard that man being abused. She must have known he was in danger of being assaulted. And she took the part of the two couriers. So she wasn't doing her job either. Neither was the shop. That man was left to fend for himself, no matter what happened to him. And he was absolutely right. It sounded to me like he was handling it very politely to start with. And then the aggression came from the two guys.
Yeah. I mean, John, would you acknowledge that in terms of the word, as Gerard described, how the interaction went?
I know exactly how it went, yeah. Yeah, I understand it perfectly, you know. And maybe I mean, as a teacher, you know, they expect to be respected and, you know, people to accept what they say like they do in the classroom, but I'm afraid out in the world, it's different.
You don't have to be a teacher to be respected.
If I go into a shop
and I'm wearing a mask and there's people there around me not wearing a mask, they're putting me in danger. And that man was being put in danger by those people, those two fellas. So that man was not in the wrong. He was not in any way in the wrong. To be honest, he was quite brave to take them on, because I don't think I would have been that brave.
Well, of course, I mean, people are free not to wear them. Or, you know, they can break the law if they want to, you know.
Does he have a view on wearing masks? Do you agree with wearing masks, if I can put it that way?
Well, basically, back in April, I started wearing masks myself, and because I saw the professor from South Korea, the expert on the virus, said we should all be wearing masks. So I started wearing masks. And then I was going around with a mask, and everybody else had nothing on. So I looked like an oddball. And I heard the virologist on the RT saying, no, masks, 50-50, you're okay without them. You know, that was the advice back in April, you know.
Yeah, but the advice has changed, in fairness, John.
September now.
Just let John finish that. Okay. So did you go back to wearing masks then, John?
Yeah, I'm just saying that the experts were telling us masks, they were basically saying you don't need them back in April. And now, you know, 3 months later, they've changed and they're saying all of us should wear masks. So basically, I don't trust the experts, you know.
Well, then you're lost, John. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I mean, 3 months is a long time when it comes to the virus. They've learned a lot in 3 months, and it's advised from everywhere.
I think John is doing a Trump on this. I think he's doing a Trump. He doesn't trust his experts.
No, well, I have a very...
No, John, I'm afraid you're doing a Trump on this. You're doing a President Trump on this. He does not trust his experts.
And John,
why are you bringing Trump into it? Donald Trump into it?
Can I just ask you, John?
What's that got to do with
it? Do you wear a mask now, John, if you go into, you know, a shop or a public place that you can't socially distance?
I do, yeah, because, I mean, I accepted Professor Wim Lee's University of Seoul in Korea. He's the top man dealing with viruses for 30 or 40 years, and he said, wear a mask. And you see in South Korea, they started wearing them straight away and they've solved the problem, you know?
Okay, but so I'm a bit confused now. So you do trust that expert or you don't anymore? Where are we now?
No, I'm taking his advice. And now, because I have to wear it now, I'm wearing it. Of course I am.
But what do you mean then when you say I don't trust experts on it?
Well, our experts, had two different views. They had one view 3 months ago, and now they have a different view.
Oh, but you're in fairness, John, as Anna was saying there, our knowledge, the experts and scientists and epidemiologists and everyone's knowledge of this virus is evolving hugely month by month. So is it not fair enough that as we go through this, you would see the evidence would support, in this case, mask wearing and accept that?
Well, I mean, why didn't they do it so when all the elderly people were dying in the nursing homes, like my aunt died back in the 15th of April?
No, I'm sorry to hear that, John.
And they got 6 weeks it took them to do anything to protect those people. And we see how many thousand, was it 60% of the people that died? They were in nursing homes. It's it's a national scandal that we didn't deal with that. And
I think we will hear more, and I hope there is more more investigation into that whole time.
Well, I didn't see
time.
Simon Harris being brought before the whole committee on COVID.
But
he didn't turn up there.
But is it really helpful to be, on national radio declaring that, experts can't be trusted?
Well, I'm saying the experts, Katie, I'll give you an example. If you go to court and there's an issue about an accident, one person will call in an expert, say an engineer, about the cause of the accident, and the plaintiff or the opposite will call another engineer. And they'll have two different views on it. They're two experts, you know. So I suppose, you know, experts differ, and it depends what you're being paid as well, you know. If your fees... medical negligence.
Your issue,
you know?
Though, is not, if we go back to the issue of masks where we came in, your issue is not that you don't accept that masks are helpful in reducing the spread of the virus. It's that you object to the fact that our experts in Ireland didn't catch up with international experts soon enough. Am I right there?
Absolutely, yeah. Right. I mean, YouTube, everybody watched YouTube, and I was watching YouTube, and there was 20 minutes of an interview with this man in the University of South Korea in Seoul. And it's quite clear to me that this guy had dealt with SARS and
virus. He was pointing out how helpful masks are in this in stopping the spread of the virus. When you hear Gerard talking about his fears, he's going back into a classroom of students. He wants to stay safe himself. He wants to make sure his students are safe. Is it not fair enough for him to challenge somebody who comes close to him without wearing them when they're not wearing a mask?
No. I think we all have to take responsibility for ourselves.
You're talking rubbish, John.
So what he's saying is the students' health don't matter. Those kids have been for the last six months.
No, I'm not saying that. Okay, can we have one voice?
In the shop, if I saw somebody not wearing a mask, I just get my coffee and go away politely and up to the till and go away. And nobody, it's not my business.
It is if you catch the virus.
No.
It is?
Actually, Katie, he's right in that sense. Because now what I'm going to do is that I'm going to have to leave the shop. I'm going to have to leave the shop instead of if I see people inside. I'm going to have to go, not the people who are not wearing the mask.
So you're saying, you're ceding ground
to the
unmasked people.
Cool, you know, you're getting excited about it, that's what upset the Garda Síochána, you know.
Okay, John, would you hold up there a second?
I think it was a lot more than that.
I want to bring Pat O'Connor in. Pat, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, you've been listening to our exchanges here.
Yes, the issue here, in my opinion, is not to tell someone who's wearing a mask or not. The guard was there. She should have enforced the law. And then
no, she was off duty, to be fair.
Yes, and as, yes, I agree with that. So if someone's being mugged and a guard's off duty, does she ignore the law?
From no, what I gather from the guard, the guard is always on duty.
She should have asked the gentleman to leave if he hadn't had got a mask on. It's the statute. It's a statute now that we all have to obey the law. And then not identifying herself as a guard, she should have answered John's request and produced her ID. So these are two parts of the laws that have been flouted by the guard. It's not up to John to tell the guys to put on a mask. It's up to the guard. That's the law. End of story.
Well, it's not for the guards, really.
If it's the law, if it's the law of the land that's gone through the Oireachtas, been voted in, that masks are mandatory, it is the law. And as
do you expect the police to be able to police the whole country? They can't police this.
When you're standing in the same bloody room as a person, you telling me that you're as a guard you're going to ignore that? Let's say if that guard was in there and it was someone shoplifting, for instance. What, she going to ignore that as well? Come on, let's be real here.
Are you going to have a guard at every supermarket? No, I'm not saying that. But if it's happening in front of the guard,
and the law is being flouted, then surely, for God's sake, common sense, enforce the law. She should have said, "I'm a guard. You two guys out of the shop without a mask."
Guys, she could have not identified herself as a guard and just walked out of the shop and said nothing.
We've one voice.
This is the problem with this country, because they're making excuses. The law is the law. The law is the land. The law of the land is quite clear. And ignorance of the law is no excuse. We all know that saying. If someone is breaking the law and you're a guard, you can't stand by and just do nothing. It's as simple as that. And if you rang the commissioner tomorrow, he'd tell you the same thing. He expects all of his members to conduct themselves on or off duty. They're statutory obligated to enforce the law on or off duty. If someone is in danger. Now, if someone had a...
Who's in danger? There was nobody in danger.
Well, there's a... It's,
well, John, do you believe that masks are important or not? Sorry, Pat, if I can just ask John that. Do you believe that masks are an important tool in the fight against the virus?
Of course. But I mean... Why should... I'll give you an example for myself. I was going to my local Super Value there 2 weeks ago, and I had no mask. And a boy, 21, with a yellow vest was at the door, and he said to me, you have to have a mask, and if you don't, you're going to be fined €2,500 and or 6 months in prison. And I said, grand, you know, that's fine, I'll go off and get a mask. Now, I think if they want to do that, you don't need a policeman to police this. This is up to the shops. And they can easily get a security man at the door.
Well, a lot of shops, to be fair now, very small convenience stores, would not stretch to having a full-time staff member standing at a door to advise people. And that's why they have a big sign saying, no mask, no entry.
Well, it happened to me in Super Value. If I can butt in there, please, 1 second.
The guards can't do this.
No, but Gerard's point is, and Pat's point is, John, if the guard is standing there, why challenge the person who is challenging people not wearing masks and say nothing to the people who are in that store, again, in violation of the laws, as was explained to you very well there by the Super Value employee, and make no reference to them?
Look, I think the guard in question was very good. I thought she showed a lot of discernment about it, because she knew from her training that if you get involved like that in a shop, in a situation, you don't know what's going to happen. So she was being very discreet about it, and she just backed off, you know. And
John, was she being discreet? Was it discreet to tell me that if I'm a teacher, God help my kids?
Yeah, well, you were getting excited, Michael. and you shouldn't.
It doesn't mean, but guards are supposed, no matter, they're supposed to be courteous to the public at all times. Because I've just read, I've read the code of conduct for Gardaí. Of course, you know, at all times.
But they're human beings. They're the same as us, you know.
I know, but they're trained human beings. Like, I'm a trained teacher. We're trained in there. So they're
trained.
Well,
if you were a trained teacher, you wouldn't have reacted as you did, you know.
No, but when you have been threatened by guys, when you've been threatened, you do react. And it's normal for anyone.
Okay, I want to bring in Anya.
If you are being threatened, the best thing anybody needs to do, if you're in a situation, is run away.
Okay.
Fly away and protect yourself.
Okay, I want to bring in Anya. Anya, good afternoon.
Hi, Casey.
You did get involved.
I did get involved, and actually this is the first time I've ever phoned a show, to be honest, but I was just so irate and I was so in agreement. Sorry, the teacher's name.
Gerard,
hi. Yeah, listen, I'm so in agreement with what you did. I had a similar instance there yesterday in my local vegetable shop. There was an unmasked guy in there, and I was keeping my distance because I'm actually very much in agreement with the mask wearing, to be honest.
Right.
But anyway, he openly sneezed in a vegetable shop, and
in a vegetable shop.
No, it wouldn't be great, Casey. It wouldn't be great. So anyway, I said to him straight away, I said, did you put your mouth in your elbow? And he said, he was wearing a round neck T-shirt, and he showed me straight away. He lifted the T-shirt and said, no, I did that. So with the hand that he did that with and brought the round neck of the T-shirt up, he started to then handle vegetables. I just was like, oh, my God. Now, I was going to go to the owner of the shop who was there, but he was busy with another customer. I actually just walked out. But I just thought to myself, like, we're all absolutely doing our best. And then you have someone playing with fire like this. You know, like, and it's proven, as some of you have been saying already, proven that if we're all wearing masks, we seriously reduce the chance of transmission. Like, there's no doubt about that. And look, I do
And particularly, Anya, in cases where people are sneezing. That is...
That's what shocked me. And I actually got a fright and ran out myself. I really did, to be honest with you. But listen, I wasn't challenged back. I'm kind of surprised at the guard's reaction, to be honest. I've encountered a lot of guards throughout the whole COVID situation, and they've been absolutely lovely. And I thought she might have taken a little bit more responsibility, judging by the story there. But the second guy who came on was saying that he shouldn't have challenged them. We have to challenge on this. This is, you're talking about danger. But there's nothing more dangerous than it's out there in the air. People flaunting it like that. We've just put the kids back to school and there's three schools already. And you think it's okay not to challenge someone to protect society?
Well, there's nobody dying, you know.
There is people dying, John. 1,700 people.
John, didn't you just point out
country.
To me how many people died?
Well, in August 6, and there was the total was 6 for COVID and 33 for suicides, I think.
So
the R rating at the moment,
so
John, is 1.2. You know what the R rating is, John? 1.2.
That means the number of people dying suicide.
There is still transmission
COVID,
of the virus in this country. I want to protect the kids that I'm teaching, so they don't get it from me. They don't bring it home to their parents, and their parents don't pass it on to other kids. That's the idea.
Yep.
That's why we were bringing our kids back, because our kids are under mental strain at the moment. They need to get back to help with their mental abilities. They're under mental strain, and parents are under mental strain at the moment. And if we all follow the rules and regulations and the laws, we'll all be safe and better off.
It's not going to kill you.
That's a very irresponsible.
How do you know that?
Can I just say, John?
You're a medical expert.
It's a mild flu.
Gerard.
He's done another Donald Trump and it's a mild flu.
Yeah, can I just say...
You ought to be ashamed of yourself, sir. Ashamed of yourself.
No, I mean, look at Sweden.
It's not a mild flu. It's a coronavirus. I've just been teaching my students on Monday. On Monday, all about the virus, what it can do. It can leave people disabled for months after they have it.
How dare you
say that it's just a flu?
John, can I just say...
No,
Gerard, please. John, I just want to say
there's nobody under 45 dying who'll get it.
John, I don't know if you heard the doctor who was on RTE Radio this morning, who had climbed Kilimanjaro 2 years ago, climbed Carntool last year, and was completely floored by this virus. So yes, of course we know. John, of course we know that younger people have much better outcomes in relation to this virus.
But some
young people have died. Some children have died, and it's completely unpredictable. It's a completely
underlying condition, Katie.
With an underlying condition, but a lot of people don't actually even know they have underlying conditions until this virus hits them.
It's one person under 35 who died had an underlying condition, you know?
John, I think it's quite irresponsible. I can't let that out there, that it's a mild flu for young people. For some people, there are very long-term consequences that people are still dealing with, and I think it's important that that be clarified. And I'm going to go to a break now.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.